Welcome to the Camden Nazarene Podcast. Camden Nazarene is an established church with a fresh vision located at 2276 Jefferson Davis Highway in Camden, South Carolina. We gather for worship each Sunday at 10:40 a.m., and you're invited to be our guest this Sunday.
Well, good morning. Good morning. It's great to see you guys here on this last Sunday of 2019, and I trust that everyone had a great week this week, and as you dove into all the festivities that is Christmas, you know, I feel like we can overprogram Christmas, can't we? We just try to pack it all in, you know, and if you've got family in town, you know, you got to make all the rounds and do all that thing, and I got to go here, and now it's time. In fact, Wednesday, I felt like I was on a Christmas tour. You know, we started on Concord Drive and then went over off Black River Road where Mom lives, and then went over to Lexington County. You know, we were just doing this Christmas tour. But it's okay because everywhere I went had food and gifts. So I was like, okay, well, you know, I can handle this, right? You know, everywhere I went, people wanted to feed me and give me a gift. I was like, this is awesome. And it's great. It's great that you guys are here. You know, I was thinking recently, I was watching a rerun of a sitcom, and I don't know if TV does this much anymore. It seemed like back in the 90s was kind of the heyday for sitcoms and the TV shows that did this type of thing. But did you ever notice how your favorite TV show at some point during its duration on TV, at some point your favorite TV show would have that look back episode? That look back episode. It was probably about season 3 or season 4 into the series if it lasted that long, and then they would do the look back episode. You know, I think if you're, for all my friends fans out there, I think that was season 3, they did a look back episode. I'm not quite sure. I'm pretty sure Seinfeld, one of my favorite sitcoms from the 90s, did a look back, and honestly, it really kind of really annoys me that they would do that. You know, you sit down and you're all ready to continue the plot. And then you can tell within the first 2 minutes, it's like, oh, it's a look-back episode. They're all just going to sit around the table and just talk about, remember that time? And then it's going to get all blurry, bloop, 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 you know, and like go to some dream scene. And, you know, and I really think it was the writers just got lazy. You know, they just were like, oh, we're out of ideas, so let's do a look-back episode. And we'll just have everybody around the table talking about how it used to be, these look-back episodes. And, you know, it's the last Sunday of 2019, and it's easy to look back on everything that 2019 either brought with it. For some of you, it was a happy year. For others of you, it was a sad year. And probably for most of us in this room, it was just a little bit of everything. A little bit of things unexpected, things that you did expect. And you know, it's something that we do. It's naturally, we get to this time of year and we want to look back. If you're on social media, Facebook, it's going to help you look back. If you log into your app, probably starting a couple days ago and through the new year, it's going to say Stephen Wallace, your year in review. You know, and you apply, and you click on the thing, and it throws you all your posts that you had this past year. And I was telling my wife about the sermon last night and kind of telling her where I was going to go with it, and she was like, yeah, I don't know anybody who would post enough that would have a look back video on Facebook. She goes, I can't think of anybody who would post enough to be able to have a look back. And obviously she's being sarcastic because I have a look back video. And I wanted to show it to you, but I couldn't figure out how to, like, Facebook, it gives it to you at random times. Like, I couldn't, like, go and find it, you know, and then put it up on the screen. My most tagged pictures was, I think, Brandon, you and I were like tagged in the most pictures together this past year. I don't know. Steven and Brandon, the chili cook-off picture made the thing. So that was kind of a big deal. Tammy, you were in there, as you can imagine, with some NY stuff. And of course, ultimately, Casey was in there the most, and rightfully so. But we all want to look back. And there may be things that we want to forget about 2019. In fact, I came across this really cool video. Maybe it gives us a reminder. Some of you will get some of these jokes. Some of you may not. A lot of pop culture, social media references in here, but let's take a look at what we're leaving behind 2019.
Hard to believe it's over, huh?
Yeah, time flies.
When you're having fun?
No.
It wasn't that bad. Remember Avengers?
Yeah. Because Iron Man died.
Stranger Things?
Yeah. Because Hopper died. Maybe.
What about Game of Thrones?
Don't you.
Hey, is that your family?
Those are all me. This is from that Snapchat gender swap filter.
Very beautiful.
This is from that Russian app that made you look like an old person.
Quite distinguished.
They have all my pictures now.
Oh, is that one of those 10-year challenge things?
No. No, that's just me from January.
Well, cheer up. At least you have ice cream.
No, because somebody licked the top of it.
Who?
I don't know. Some kid with a cell phone and like a million followers on TikTok.
It seems like you've had a weird 12 months.
You don't know the half of it.
I don't think you should be drinking that in here.
No, it's okay, because there ain't no laws when you're drinking claws.
Well, that's not what HR said, and they actually mentioned you specifically by name in the memo.
Did you see my memo back to them?
Are you still using that cat meme?
Yeah, I am using the cat meme. Okay, boomer.
I am 1 year younger than you.
Okay, you know what? Just cut me some slack, okay? It's been a crazy year. I've had to listen to Old Town Road like 3 million times, and that was before like the 15 remixes, okay?
Jeez, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I've been through a war this year.
I don't remember a war.
We lost a lot of good men out there.
What?
Popeyes retreated, but oh, they came back.
Oh, the chicken sandwich war.
Chick-fil-A never saw it coming. Probably because it was a Sunday.
What happened to you, man? You came in here on such a good note. Remember when you were watching that Netflix show about tidying up and you wanted to spark joy everywhere?
Yeah, well, apparently, taking 2 hours to fold a shirt does not exactly spark joy for me.
So, what are you gonna do now?
I don't know. Probably try to track down those 30 to 50 feral hogs.
That sounds like a bad idea.
Or I could try to raid Area 51 again.
That's an even worse idea.
I could always put some more camera lenses on the iPhone.
I think 5 is probably plenty.
Guess I'll just go make some more resolutions again. Guess I'll see you around.
Whoa! I think you're forgetting something.
Nah, that stays.
Well, how am I supposed to deal with this?
Oh. I'm so glad that most of you guys laughed. I was scared. I was like, man, they're not going to get any of these things. So thankful. I hope you saw The Avengers. I hope that didn't ruin it for you. You should have seen it already. But, you know, it's we don't want to look back. You know, there were so many things that we just don't want to look back. And so this morning, as we move into a passage, a very neat passage of Scripture, Psalm 85. Psalm 85, it was the video, the sermon bumper that played before I got up. It was snippets from Psalm 85. It's this beautiful psalm of adoration that honestly many believe was written after the return of the exiles from Babylonian captivity. You see, for about 70 years, the nation of Israel, they found themselves in exile due to their continued disobedience against the Lord. And eventually, their captors allowed them to return to the land. As you can imagine, they returned to the land wanting to forget everything that had happened. They returned to the land wanting to move forward, wanting to look forward into what God had for them. There were some things in their past that they'd rather not bring back up because they understand it was the things in their past that caused them to go into captivity. In fact, much of this activity, much of the story that we see of the Israelites moving back into the land is chronicled in books like Nehemiah and also books like Ezra. You see, it is Nehemiah that leads Israel back to Jerusalem, and he leads the charge to rebuild the the physical walls of the city and to begin to rebuild the temple. So it's Nehemiah who leads them in this process of renewal into the physical things. And then in the book of Ezra, Ezra leads them back into renewal of the law of God, renewal in the ways of God. So if you just kind of a little Bible study nugget there, Nehemiah and Ezra are kind of two sides of the same coin. They're partner books. And Nehemiah is leading them through the physical rebuilding of the city and the walls. And Ezra is reminding them who they are, whose they are as the people of God. In fact, scripture passages like this, Nehemiah 1:3, kind of gives you a look and gives you somewhat of a glimpse as to what they were facing. Nehemiah 1:3 says, "Those who survive the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burned with fire." So they go back, but they find their city in ruin. They find everything is in need of much renewal. So you can imagine they're not interested in looking back. They're not interested in looking back at what has happened. They want to move forward. They want to begin this process of moving forward. Israel, they understood why they had been in exile. They realized their wrongdoing, and now they find themselves in a position to look forward in the promise that God will always remain faithful. Psalm 85 is this reminder. Psalm 85 was most likely written during this time as a song for all of them to gather around, a song for all of them to gather around and be reminded that God indeed is faithful, that his love is steadfast, that his love is everlasting, that his mercies are new every morning. And so we move into this new year, it's my prayer that on this last Sunday of 2019, we don't spend time looking back. I hope I never see that white cat ever again on my social media feed. We don't spend time looking back on what could have been, but we look ahead in prayer for God to renew us and to surround us with his continued mercies. If 2020 is going to be a different year, then it has to be a year of renewal in our own lives, and as a result, a year of renewal within our church. You're going to see all sorts of resolutions probably on your social media feed, and you're going to hear people talking about it, but you're not going to see a whole lot of change. People are still going to, they're going to want change, they're going to want to have a different year, but if we don't make steps to, if we don't change things, if we don't put God first, if we don't make a constant effort to allow God to renew us, then we're going to find that 2020 is probably going to be a whole lot like 2019. And so this morning, I want this psalm to remind us, to motivate us, to move us into a time of renewal. The psalm reminds us that, and this is the first thing I want you to see, is renewal begins with praise. Renewal begins with praise, and we see this in verses 1 through 3 of this psalm. Hear the word of the Lord. You, Lord, showed favor to your land, and you restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people and covered all their sins. You set aside all your wrath and turned from your fierce anger. The psalmist is recognizing that there was indeed some wrongdoing, that God showed his wrath, and rightfully so, because of their infidelity as a people towards the one true God. But it's this song of praise that, Lord, you have turned from your anger. And so if we're going to begin a season of renewal in our lives, we first need to have an attitude of praise. We need to be a people that praise, that constantly praise God for who he is, that constantly praise God for what he's doing and for what he's going to do. You guys ever pray that prayer? Do you ever make that a part of your prayers of, we not only thank God for what he's done, but we thank him for what he's going to do? Because we know God is leading us into some great days, into some good days. I didn't say easy days, but I said, good days, days of peace and days of assurance that no matter what life brings us, God indeed is with us. So renewal, it begins with praise, but I believe more importantly, renewal is rooted in prayer. Renewal is rooted in prayer. Look at verses 4 through 7 of this psalm, Psalm 85. Restore us again, God our Savior, and put away your displeasure towards us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger through all generations? Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your unfailing love, Lord, and grant us your salvation. My prayer is that this year is a year of praise for you, but it's also a year that is rooted in prayer, rooted in constantly communicating with God and recognizing who God is and what God has done and what he is doing for us. So what kind of renewal do we need? If we're being called, if we're being encouraged to a season of renewal, I believe that we could use a renewal of relationships. A renewal of relationships. And the first relationship that we can always use renewal in is the relationship with God. Relationship with the Lord. This is the most critical of all relationships as it determines the health of our other relationships. You ever think about that? Your relationship with other people, how you treat other people, whether you forgive them or not forgive them, begins with the health of your relationship with God. You see, because if you recognize that you've been forgiven, if you recognize how much you've been forgiven, if you recognize what a wretch that you are, and despite that, God still loves you, then you will find it more easier to forgive because you understand the messiness that God has forgiven in you. Our relationship with God must be top priority. And I know some of this is going to sound very cliche and very like, we've heard that before. But if there's anything I know about the people of God, going all the way back to the Old Testament, they need constant reminders. If you haven't caught that yet, this is one big reminder. This is one big reminder of God's love for us. And you see it in multiple ways. You see it displayed through different stories and different narratives and different servants who rise up. But the people of God, for whatever reason, we need constant reminding of just how great God is and his love for us. So our relationship with God must be top priority. Our relationship with God, it must be intentional and should be rooted in love for God and for his ways. Think about that. What if as we move forward from this day, our priority is the desires of God, our desires to become the desires of God. I think perhaps there could be a need for renewal of relationships within our families. We just came out of a season where you saw your family a whole lot. And maybe this hits home. Maybe you've been reminded, oh, Lord, I need a renewal. I'm going to need some renewal before I see them again in the next holiday. I don't know what your situation is. But perhaps we need a renewal relationship with our family. How about a renewal of the relationship with our spouse, if you fit into that category? You fell in love while dating, but what are you doing now to sustain that love and keep it alive? Could it be that we need a renewal of relationships with our children? You know, time is the most precious gift that we can give our families. The biggest gift that you can give your children specifically is you and your time. I was reminded of this yesterday. Avery came out. I was outside shooting basketball on their Christmas present, but you know, whatever. And he come out and he needed some help. He got easily frustrated, and so I proceeded to kind of copy him, you know, to make him see how ridiculous he's being, you know. And just a tactic I'm trying. Just, I don't know. I'll let you know how it goes. And it began to kind of provoke him, and he got more angry, and it obviously, it resulted in a punishment on him because he just got a little disrespectful. But I was also reminded, though, and we had a conversation together later that night. You know, Scripture does say, children, honor your mother and your father, but it also says, fathers, don't provoke your children. You know, and I sat down, I said, Avery, I'm going to talk to you. I said, what happened today, that's not how you respond to me. I said, but the Bible also says this, and I apologize for copying you and you know, making you feel this way. And it was an Andy and Opie moment. It was really neat. But time is the most precious gift that we can give your family. And I'm preaching to me when I say this. Can we be present? Can we be 100% present with our families? I mean, think about it. I mean, we're present, but a lot of times we are distracted. And it could be that a renewal of relationships with our families and with our kids could be we are 100% mentally, emotionally, and physically present in whatever's going on. And that's not for you. That's for me. I'm the mirror is up when I say that. It could be that we need a renewal of relationships with one another. Within the church, specifically, that, you know, poor relationships among us in the church will keep us from doing His mission. Basically, if we can't get along, then we can't do the mission of God outside these walls. That's just the truth of the matter. And I say that more as a warning and more as an encouragement. I mean, I don't sense a big strife here in this community of believers. But let's be reminded, if we cannot get along, and there could be something that I'm not aware of. It could be this year there's an individual that you, there's a history there, or this past year you've seen things differently. I would encourage you to reach out to them and say, hey, listen, I want to renew our relationship. Because we cannot reach others for Christ if you and I are having some sorts of differences. And that's the thing. We don't have to approve of the method of what everyone does. Someone may go about a ministry. They may raise their family a certain way. We don't have to approve of all of that, but neither do we have to always take issue with everything. You know, Matthew 7, 1 through 3 reminds us, you know, judge not lest you be judged. We need to be reminded that before we call out the sins of a sister or a brother, or we call out some sort of thing we don't like, that be sure that our eyes are clear before we criticize anyone else. I saw something on social media this week, and I knew I'd use it in a sermon, didn't know it would come up today, but came across this saying of someone that said, the truths of God are not bricks to be thrown, but bread to be given to the hungry. It's so easy to use the truth of God and say, well, you know, brother, sister, you're not doing it right. Word of God says this, you know. I don't know if that's the best way to handle God's word. I see it more as bread to give nourishment. And if we want to renew relationships with one another, I think it's important for us to see us as hungry folks just trying to feed one another. Hungry folks just showing each other where the bread is at. So a renewal of relationships and also a renewal of commitments. Commitments and relationships, they may be two sides of the same coin, but we all could use a reminder of the commitments that we've made and that we need to keep. Maybe we need a renewal of the commitment that we've made to God and to His church. And I said His church. You see, the church is the bride of Christ. This church was established by God. So when you stay out of church, when you think, well, I don't need the church, I can do it on my own, you're not shunning me. You're not shunning the people that are here. What you're doing, you're telling God, I don't need what you have established. And so it could be that this year we sense a renewal to the commitment to the body of believers. And we understand that God's key mission to the world, God's key medium and avenue to reach the world is the church of Jesus Christ, is the body of believers. And it could be that we need this renewal of commitment to say, hey, listen, I believe that people need to hear the gospel. And I want to do the work of the gospel with this group of believers right here. I want to feed the hungry. I want to teach those who want to be discipled. I want to work in the nursery. I want to work in kids' church. I want to teach Sunday school. I want to work with young people and teens. I want to do this work because I believe that people need to be discipled. I want to renew my commitment to the local church. Man, we need to renew our commitment to God. We need to ask ourselves, what is keeping us from having daily time with Him to study His scriptures and to spend time with the Lord in prayer? And I'm aware that looks like that looks different for a lot of people. I'm not saying that you've got to do devotion. You have to do devotions and pray and read scripture the same way that I do in the same way. I mean, you've got to find your ways of connecting with God. For some of you, it could be going outside and connecting with God through that way, or things that remind you of Him, or scriptures that you've hidden in your heart. How are we being faithful with His tithe and our offering in this new year? Maybe we need a renewal to say, Lord, I want to put You first. I want to put You first in my finances this year. I want to put You first with my time by being here and being a part of the mission of God. And Lord, I also want to put You first in my finances. I want You to have control over my finances, because looking back at 2019, apparently I can't do it alone. You will be amazed. You will be amazed at what you see God do in your life when you place Him first. And I'm not talking about, you know me better than this, to think that I'm feeding you some sort of prosperity gospel mess. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about, you know, give to God and then, you know, everybody's going to have a new car in a couple months. I'm not talking about that. Because that's not what that's all about. I'm talking about seeing God do things in your family's life and do things in your life that you could, really, as the scripture says, more than you could imagine could ever happen when you put God first in so many ways. Perhaps we need to renew our commitment to others, to our neighbors, to let them know that we care, to share their joys, to share their struggles. What if this year you committed to find two or three people and you committed to meet together regularly for accountability? And if you couldn't physically meet every week, but just to be on the same group text and just to check in with people, hey, how's it going? Hey, I've been reading through John chapter 1 this week. This is how it's speaking to me. I hope you guys are having a great week. Would love to see what you're seeing in this passage. How cool would that be? Perhaps we need a commitment to our community. A renewal to see people with that through the eyes of God. I've been riding down Highway 1, for 8 years now, but just recently, beginning to see things differently. Conventional wisdom would say I shouldn't say this. I need to plan it out, and I need to, you know, present it to you guys, but I ride by the Plantation Motel here recently, and there's families that are staying in there that I see out. I see kids riding bicycles, and I'm riding by, and I said, Lord, do I need to go introduce myself to them and see, you know, where do these kids go to school, and how can we help? Again, that was not in my notes. That's just kind of what the Lord's been speaking to me about the last few weeks, and I should have came up with a good PowerPoint presentation on how we're going to do this new ministry, but there it was. All right, you guys take with what you want to with it. but to see the community through the eyes of God. This psalm has reminded us. It has reminded us of the faithfulness of God, the peace that comes when we are obedient to Him and put His mission first in our lives. Here's the thing. We see the fulfillment of God's faithfulness in Jesus Christ. You see, for the Israelites who first experienced this psalm, they were seeing the fulfillment of God's promises as they were going back into the land. But that wasn't the full fulfillment. That was just a piece. That was just a glimpse of God's plan of redemption and God's plan of salvation for humanity. But in Jesus Christ, in the one who came to us in the form of a babe, we see the fullness of God's faithfulness. We see the fullness of His salvation. There was a reason this morning that we sang three songs in our worship set that literally took us from Christmas all the way through Easter. And in one service, we went through the whole theme of the gospel. And some worship leaders would have said, you can't put all those songs together. That's not, the themes are all, no, that. Because I want us to be reminded that what started here in the manger was the beginning of the fullness of God's faithfulness to us. And so we see that in the one who was Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus Christ has made a way of renewal for us. Renewal doesn't have to be just something that we think is a good idea. Renewal doesn't have to just be some New Year's resolution, but this is something that we can obtain through the blood and through the sacrifice and through the grace and mercy given to us on the cross by the way of Jesus Christ. We can live transformed lives. We can be made new. There's a way to be set free from that which has always held us back. A way to new life and total transformation from what we've always known. Doesn't matter about our past. Doesn't matter about our past because Christ wants to come and He wants to make that new. God indeed has been faithful to us. God has shown us His love. And just think what would happen if we would respond. The last part of Psalm 85 gives us a little glimpse of that. Look at verses 10 through 13. 12 and 13 are not going to be on the screen, but 10 and 11 will. Look at what happened. Look at what can happen when we commit to renewal with God. Love and faithfulness meet together. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness springs forth from the earth, and the righteousness looks down from heaven. Look at verse 12. This may be what you need to hear. The Lord will indeed give what is good in our land, and our land will yield its harvest. So a group of people that came back to their land, they saw the walls of Jerusalem in disarray. They saw how it had been destroyed by fire. They recognized that God was faithful. They recognized that through a season of renewal, look at verse 12, that the Lord will indeed give what is good. And our land will yield a harvest. I don't know what 2019 looked like for you. But what I know is when we commit to God, when we are obedient, when we accept His grace and walk in His ways, the Lord will indeed give what is good. Righteousness goes before Him and prepares the way for His steps. So as we wrap it up, we're gonna spend the next few moments with time at the Lord's table. As I was going through this psalm and going through all sorts of directions, I couldn't help but be reminded of the table being honestly the ultimate symbol of God's plan of renewal for you and I, for us to come to the table. And you may be saying, you don't know the year that I've had. You don't know the year that I've had. You don't understand where I've come from. I'm not in a place to come to this table. But that's the beauty of the table, folks. Do you think the disciples felt worthy to come to the table? You think Judas was worthy to come to the table, yet he still was there and Jesus served him? The ultimate gift of renewal is symbolized in a very profound way here at the table. And so we are reminded on the night that our Lord was betrayed, that he gathered around his disciples. And he took the bread and he broke it, saying that this is my body broken for you. Take and eat this. And later on, after they had eaten, Scripture tells us that he took the cup and he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant. This is my blood that is shed for you. Drink this in remembrance for the remission of all the sins of the world." And he reminds us to do this often. And we are reminded that this is, yes, a table of memorial, the table of remembrance, but it's also a table of renewal and a table of grace. And if you're here this morning, I want you to know that in the Church of Nazarene, we practice open communion. You don't have to be a member of the Church of Nazarene. Just simply a believer, an understanding that Jesus has died for your sins, that he has made atonement for your sins, and that you accept that. And it could be that today is your moment. It could be that today that in coming forward, you want to accept the grace that is offered here at this table. It could be that your year of renewal begins with accepting the love and the grace that God has poured out for you. And while I'm praying, I would invite you to spend time in prayer, to ask the Holy Spirit to examine your heart, to point out anything that may be out of line with the character of a holy God. And after we pray, I want to invite you to come, and we're going to serve what's called intinction style. And you'll just come and you'll tear off a piece of the bread and you'll dip it in the cup, and you can partake while you're up here, and then you can return to your seat. As I pray, I'm going to ask Pastor Scott if he would come, and he will be holding the bread and I'll be holding the cup. Let's pray. Father, Lord, in these elements, yes, Lord, they're just, it's just bread and it's just juice. But Lord, in these elements, Lord, there's a great symbol here of your love. There's indeed an enormous symbol of your great love for us and your body being broken out and your blood being poured out. And so, Lord, in these moments, Lord, we recognize your presence here. We recognize, Lord, that you are here with us. And Lord, so right now, as we prepare to come to this table of grace, I pray right now, Lord, we take time to confess that which may be out of line with the character of a holy God. Amen. Would you come to the table?
Thank you for visiting CamdenFirstChurch.org.